Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me today. You know what that means, right? If you've been listening to this show already, that means you're a highly intelligent person. So if you just tuned in, look what you got to look forward to. Governor Pete DuPont is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's back with us, a longtime member of our Brain Trust and a good friend of ours. He's been a great supporter of all the stuff that we do and all the stuff that you do. As a former governor of this great state of Delaware, as a former member of that congressional delegation from Delaware, as a former a presidential candidate, had with presidential aspirations, of which I'm going to ask him about a couple of questions about in just a little bit. He's now the chairman of the National Center for Policy Analysis. But the thing I'm the most proud of, he's our good friend. Governor DuPont, welcome back to the show.
Well, Jim, thank you. I like coming on your show because you got sensible things to talk about, but I also like the music that comes on at the very beginning. You do a wonderful job with trumpets and brass. That's good work.
Thank you, Governor. I appreciate that. That's high praise coming from you. Governor, this country was hit in the last 30 days with a 1-2 punch that we haven't seen before, and just right into with Katrina and with Rita. Rita could have been worse. I mean, we really, as devastating as it was, and I don't mean to minimize the hardship that the people in East Texas and Western Louisiana face over there, but as rough as it was, it could have been a lot worse. But still, a horrible devastation in southern Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and now Texas. You know, one of the things I want to talk to you about is the role of government, the role of the federal government in all this. I am very disturbed by the overreaction by the federal government to what's going on down there now that they have started reacting. The 2 days that the federal government sat on their hands and didn't do their job, probably, or at least didn't show that they were doing some things right after Katrina, I'm saying that those 2 days are the most expensive days in the history of this country because of that failure to react, and because it put Mr. Bush on his heels, so to speak, from a public relations standpoint. We're now talking about $200 billion to rebuild that thing down there. I don't know where the money's coming from, and that's the reason why I say those 2 days are the most expensive days in our history.
Well, that could easily be right. We've had some very expensive times in our history. The Civil War was obviously one. World War One, World War Two. But in terms of natural disasters, I think the last month is you're right. It's right at the top of the list. And Mississippi and Alabama have done a pretty good job in getting things back together. They weren't hit as hard as Louisiana, but it's been a devastating thing. A lot of people have been displaced. Some of them probably forever. They're moving to Texas. They're moving somewhere. But we've got to figure out a way to pay for all this. And so far, I don't see the Congress or the White House doing much about that.
Well, doesn't it concern you that the government is talking about opening up the bank account, and I mean, regardless of how much money they're going to spend, if it's $100 billion or $200 billion, I mean, shouldn't the federal government should not be taking the lead here? I think. I mean, I think they should be there as a partner and filling in where they need to be filling in. But shouldn't the private sector be taking care of this down there?
Well, the private sector should be doing a lot of it, and I believe is doing a lot of it, and certainly the charitable contributions by individuals and companies have been enormous. And
that's happening right now.
Thing.
Exactly.
But somebody's got to make the decisions about which area gets cleaned up first, about how it's done. And I think in the Louisiana case that between the mayor and the governor, there's not been much vision. There's not been a real plan to get things back together.
Incompetence is the words that I think that we could use in those two cases.
And a lot of politics there.
Yeah.
And a lot of money. I mean, $250 billion, a lot of money, but the question is, where's it all really going? And we don't get a very good view of that. You pick up the paper every morning and you find lists, as we did this morning, lists of various projects that are being undertaken that don't look to me like they're vitally important to restore the economies and the living space in those cities.
Well, exactly, and of course, part of the issue, to be fair, is the job is so enormous and so daunting. I mean, some of those people, literally, their neighborhoods are now Superfund sites, which is a perfect segue into something we're going to talk about in a little bit with Governor DuPont, and that is our national energy policy. And we're going to talk about that right after these messages. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us.
A sugar and spice. I feel nice.
Listen to the wind blow.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Now, I know that Governor Pete DuPont is going to say a lot of really smart things, some more really smart things besides what he's already said, that you're going to want to go back and listen to over and over again. So you can do that because we have that available on our website. So if you want to go back and listen to this interview or past interviews with Governor Pete DuPont, you can do all those at our website, and it's really easy to do. So check it out at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Governor DuPont, NCPA has a website too, doesn't it?
It sure does, ncpa.org, and we've got a terrific Social Security section there where you can put in your age and your income and find out what's going to happen after you retire, how much money you're going to pay in taxes till you're 65, and then how much you're going to get in benefits after that. We've got the high school debating section. We've got all kinds of stuff on health care, which is John Goodman, who's our president. That's his big area of knowledge. So it's kind of interesting, worth going on.
Check it out, ncpa.org. Governor DuPont, I've already said before, you had political, I should say, presidential aspirations, and had a successful candidacy, but not successful in getting to the White House. And I've said before, folks, and I'll say it again, I wouldn't mind living in an America with a governor, with a president, Pete DuPont. But Governor, if you had been president the 2 days, the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday after Katrina hit, how would you have reacted differently? And I know this is hindsight, but that's what we get to do here. How would you have reacted differently? Would you have reacted to the way Mr. Bush reacted?
Well, I think that the secret to solving any crisis is somebody in charge. Somebody's got to have the responsibility. Somebody's got to make the decision. Somebody's got to tell people to move.
A decision maker, not just somebody in charge, but somebody who makes decisions.
Exactly right, and I think the most critical conversation, and of course none of us heard it, is the conversation the president had with the governor of Louisiana,
Governor Blanco.
Yes, in which Governor Blanco said no, she wasn't kind of ready to take action. Now I don't know how the Constitution would fit in each little area, but I think the president had to say, Governor, I've got to take some action here, and if you're not going to help, we're just going to have to bring some of the FEMA and the military people in there and get this thing under control. It needed some
wasn't
real decisiveness.
Wasn't he damned if he did and damned if he didn't?
Oh, absolutely. If he had done that, there'd have been a tremendous controversy. But if he had been a little stronger a couple of days ahead of time, we'd have had a little better result, I think. Although I will say the number of people killed was much lower than everyone thought.
The mayor kept saying thousands, didn't he?
10,000 was the mayor's estimate,
yeah.
And what did it end up? 600?
About 1,000, I think.
About 1,000.
Yeah.
But too many. And that's 1,000 too many, but everyone thought it was going to be worse. But somebody has to be in charge, and Governor Blanco didn't seem to think that it was time to be in charge. And I think the president just had to be in charge.
But how much blame should we lay at the foot of Mr. Brown, the FEMA director, former FEMA director?
Well, you know, he was interesting before the Congress yesterday, making the point.
He was pugnacious, wasn't he?
He was very pugnacious, making the point he was trying to get some things done, and he couldn't get the governor or the mayor to help him do those things either.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think we should point out is that FEMA is not a first responder.
Oh, that's exactly right.
See, that's something that the people miss in this whole thing. FEMA and the federal government, in a local national disaster, FEMA and the federal government are not first responders.
No, and people think that FEMA is the Marine Corps.
Right.
And when there's an invasion, they can just come in the helicopters.
They don't own a truck. They don't own a bottle of water. They don't own a meals ready to eat.
Exactly, and so I think Mr. Brown's taken a lot of hits from a lot of angry people. He could have been faster. The president could have been a little faster too, and the governor and the mayor could have been a whole lot stronger.
Here's the lesson that I would learn if I were, you know, when I become president, governor. What I've learned from all this is that whenever a hurricane is bearing down on one of my cities, I'm going to get all the MREs, we used to call them sea rations, all the MREs, all the water bottles I can get, and all the helicopters I can get, and we're just going to have them ready. And the day, and once the hurricane is gone and we can fly in there, drop those rations into those areas to help those people. If somebody had, you know, and I don't think they would have needed Blanco's or Nagin's permission to just fly helicopters, pallets of food and rations in there to those folks. If they had done that, if on Tuesday or Wednesday they had seen those helicopters coming in there with those rations, I think we wouldn't be spending $200 billion of the federal government to rebuild New Orleans.
Well, we'd probably still have to do the rebuilding, but we'd have had a lot of people who would have had more sustenance, maybe more medical attention. But you're right. Somebody needed to go in there very quickly. They couldn't take a two-day delay to wait and see what happens. And I think we've learned that lesson. We did much better in Texas when the next storm came.
Because in fairness, Texas went to school on Louisiana.
That's exactly right.
No question about it.
We were better, and running out of gasoline on the highways was something we hadn't anticipated.
Right.
But nevertheless, a lot of people got out of there. A lot of lives were saved. So we did learn. We did do better the second time around, and we'll do better the next time.
Stand by, Governor. When we come back, we're going to get Governor Pete DuPont to tell us what all of this hurricane affects on our energy policy, what effects it's going to have, what effects and what we should be doing as a reaction to what happened in the last 30 days. And we'll do that right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Governor Pete DuPont is our guest. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Governor Pete DuPont is our guest. He's chairman of the National Center for Policy Analysis, former governor of the great state of Delaware, former presidential candidate, former representative in Congress of the great state of Delaware. Governor, the small business owners in the hurricane-ravaged area are just on my mind all the time now, and we're doing everything we can to let people know about what can be done, what needs to be done to help them out down there. I'm sure the NCPA is going to be working on those kinds of issues to let people know how we can all be involved. The way to rebuild those areas is to get those economies going again, and the way to get those economies going is to get these small business owners up and running again.
That's exactly right, and they've got, you know, you see the pictures on the television, they're sweeping the streets off, getting rid of the trash, but getting your small business up, getting those 15 employees back in every morning, some of them went to Texas, your supplies have been water-soaked. I mean, small businesses have a big job there, and
it's a multi-year job, isn't it?
It is a multi-year job, but I think that's one area where the White House is being some help. I think they're getting a lot of assistance to get things put back together again.
The SBA, is making some low-interest disaster relief loans, sometimes with 30-year payback periods. So that's a lot of that they're doing. But I want to change subjects before you leave, though. I want to get your thoughts on how all of this is putting extra heat on us not having an effective energy policy.
Well, you know what it's really done? It's really shined a spotlight on the fact that we're not producing nearly enough energy in America. We used to have more than 300 refineries operating in the country, and we got about half that number.
And no new ones coming online.
No new refinery has been built in 30 years.
Why have that many? I didn't realize we'd lost half of them. Where did they go?
Well, we didn't lose them. They simply shut down, some of them were inefficient. And one of the problems with refineries today is it takes 5 to 10 years to get the permits. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a huge bureaucratic problem, and that's one thing the White House could do. They could cut loose some of this regulatory, get a statute through that allows people to build a refinery quickly. We need to get them up and running to produce the oil that we need. And secondly, we've got to start oil and natural gas drilling off the East and West Coast. That was banned in 1981, and there's a lot of energy out there, and we need that energy, and we need to get going to get it.
We've got to become less reliant upon foreign oil. There's no question about that. We've got to become less reliant upon oil, period, though, haven't we?
Well, we do, and the other piece of that is to start building more nuclear plants. We haven't built one of those in ages either.
Over 25 years. And also, we need to be drilling in Anwar.
Absolutely.
The Alaska National Wildlife Refuge, we need to be drilling there. But we've also got to learn, I mean, we've got the NIMBY problem, too. Not in my backyard. Nobody wants a refinery in their backyard.
Well, that's true. And starting back in the 1970s, the people who believed that were in control of government, and they began putting all these regulations in place. And, you know, offshore drilling is a very safe thing environmentally. There's not been a significant spill that's more than 1,000 barrels in 25 years.
Yep.
So we know how to drill offshore, and we ought to start doing it, as you say, in Anwar, the coast of Alaska, off the West Coast, off the East Coast. They're doing it in the Gulf Coast, and it's not environmentally dangerous or bad.
Governor, let me ask you, let me stop you. I've got less than a minute. The government owns more of the United States than private sector does, if I'm not mistaken. They own a lot of land, especially out west.
That's correct.
There isn't anybody's backyard out there. Why don't we go out there and set up refineries in all that government land out there? I mean, I know you got to pump it in there, but you got to send the gasoline there anyways. I mean, you wouldn't be any less close than any other refinery. Why don't we go out into some of these big the Rocky Mountain states and where there's nobody out there in some of those places and put up refineries?
Well, they're trying to do that. The case is one in Arizona, which they've been working for more than 6 years, and they can't get all the permits together to build it. And we need to do that all over the country because we do need more energy.
It's got to be seen. We've got to see this as a national security issue, don't we?
You bet we do, because importing all that oil from foreign countries is not politically an easy thing to do.
And I'm going to be watching to see if George Bush is just the guy to do that. Governor Pete DuPont, thank you for being here. As always, it's our pleasure and our honor to have you on our show.
Well, Jim, good to be with you again.
Thank you, sir. We'll see you next time. Governor Pete DuPont, ladies and gentlemen, he is the best. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
In Prosperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.